We are in the middle of a series called The Walk, What It Takes. First week was consistency. You've got to be consistent in anything if you want success. And you've got to be consistent in your walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It is impossible to please God without faith. So we're walking in this in consistency over and over and over and over and over in our consistency of our walk. Last week we talked about relationships. And this week, all through Scripture, you see from Old Testament to New Testament, where God instructs you and I to encourage one another. Well, why would that be? Because God, the creator of the universe, knows all things, and he knows the walk of faith. It can be a walk that is persecuted. It can be a walk that there is tribulation. It can be a walk that there are times of trials. It can be a walk that you have to, at times, walk in such a way that you don't understand the things that are taking place, but you have to say, God, I will trust you in this. I don't get it. I don't see it. This wasn't my plan. Not working out the way I had thought, but God, even in this, listen, God knows all things, and he knows if you are going to walk the walk of faith, there's going to be times that you are going to need someone to come alongside of you to encourage you. That's why over and over through Scripture, he tells us to encourage one another. Let me give you the definition of encouragement. Encouragement means this. Folks, it means to build courage. Do you realize what that means? That you have the ability to come alongside somebody and impart courage in them. Impart something within them that they are built up. Something within them. You have the ability to build them up in such a way that they now believe that they can be overcomers. They now believe I can overcome this. They now believe I am going to press forward. They now believe I understand God in my life. I understand Christ by the Spirit of God, the power that reigns in him. That you have the ability to come alongside and build courage in them to get through. Powerful. It means to strengthen. It means to support. God calls the church, God calls you and I to come alongside one another to encourage and to build courage and to support and to strengthen. Father, I pray for this word this morning. God, that we would get this, that we would not walk out of here the same. God, put this in our hearts. Father, we come before you hungry this morning, thirsty, hungry, can't get enough of your word. God, increase our faith this morning. Father, I pray that every heart in this place would receive this word and receive this seed this morning. God, I pray that every eye would be open to see it, every ear would be open to hear it, and God, that you would speak directly to the individual this morning. I ask that you would ask God, speak to me this morning. God, I'm here and I'm hungry. Speak to me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing that we pray that. And I believe that. And I had to work last night as well into this morning. And I had a college student last night on the Allegheny streets here come up to me. And she came up to the window and says, you know, I was at church. And she's a frequent flyer. She comes and goes. And and she said, you know, I was there a couple weeks ago. And she says, every time you speak, it's like I am the only one in the room. And she said it. Not like in an encouraging way. She said it in a way like, that's kind of why I don't come every week, because God drills me every week. I'm like, honey, don't, come on. I mean, you got to be there every week. If God speaks to you every week, what a great place to be. Come on. And she was like, you know, I mean, every time it's like you pinpoint me and I ask God to speak to me and he does. And then I leave. And this was like every week. I'm like, well, you need to be there every single week. So it's just kind of neat how God is pinpointing every single heart. I don't know the condition of your heart, folks. But God, who knows all things, knows the very condition of your heart this morning. And man, I tell you what, there are days, there are seasons, and there are hours that we just need someone to come alongside and to build us up to have courage to get through. Come on, let's read this. Let's go. Two places of Scripture this morning. Please turn to 1 Samuel 23 and put a marker. We got to fly, though. 1 Samuel 23, put a marker. And then turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we will be at 1 Thessalonians 5. So please, 1 Samuel 23, put a marker, and then flip over to 1 Thessalonians 5. All through Scripture, if we are going to walk this walk, and we are going to know what it takes, God tells us one of the ingredients that it takes is to have people to surround you that will encourage you. Folks, we're either discouraging people or encouraging people. We are either kicking the legs out of one another, or we're building the strength in their legs to stand alone, to support themselves. Again, we got to get this. This is huge. Are we discouraging people? kicking the legs out from under them? Speaking things in that are negative and complaining? Or are we encouraging, building courage up and strengthening the very legs that they stand on, that they can stand alone and that they begin to charge by themselves? And look, we're going to see this. Point number one is the church, folks. When we recognize that one of the places that we are to encourage one another is the local church. I passionately believe that the local church is what God uses through Scripture and today to reach the lost, to reach regions, to reach local places around the world, around the globe. It's called the local church. Folks, we've got to understand, when you begin to read Scripture, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, all through Acts, Paul would leave individuals behind and say, listen, you lead this church. Every one of those letters was written to, guess what? Different local churches. All through Scripture, we see the power and the impact of the local church, being consistent in it, building relationships in the local church, and recognizing that in the church is a place that God says one of the functions of the church is that we would encourage, we would build courage, support one another. Look at this. Hebrews 10 says this. Got to see this. Not forsaking our own assembly together. Another version says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. That don't stop going to church. That's what that says. We are. God instructs us to assemble together. On the weekends, we assemble together. Home group, we assemble together. Breakaway, they assemble together. Gang, that's church. God says this, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. There are some who come and go. There are some who come for a season, don't come back. There are some who's that ad. They come up with this crazy idea that they have been deceived to think, I don't need a church. That's not what God says. One of the functions of the church is when we get together and when we assemble together is to encourage one another. Look what it says. But build up one another, encourage one another, edify one another, build courage within one another, support one another, strengthen one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Folks, if you have lived with your head in the sand, you have not noticed that it is getting darker and the enemy is ripping apart family. The enemy is ripping apart our young people. The enemy is ripping apart husband and wife. The enemy is coming against the church as violently as he can come against. Unless you bend your head in it, you have not seen. And the Bible says that, why is it that God says the church, the local church, assembling together is such a place that you are to encourage one another, even more so as you see the day draw near? Because folks, it will get darker and it will get harder and there will be days and there will be seasons that we go through as a church that the enemy is just in a full attack mode, absolute assault mode on the church, absolute assault mode on husband and wife, absolute assault mode on your teenagers, absolute assault mode on our college campuses, assault and attack, and he's going after it with a fury, folks. And God says the way to fight that is find a local church that will encourage you and build you and stand with you and strengthen you and support you. All the more so as the day draws near. Every day that goes past is a closer day that my King returns. Powerful, folks. So the local church is a place for you to be encouraged and for you to be built up. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says this. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, asleep means dead, we will live together with him. Look what he says, listen, if you know Christ Jesus and you pass from this life, the Bible says this, we will live. This is a guarantee, man. This is a promise from God that when we leave this place called earth, when we take our last breath, or if we remain until he returns, the fact is this, if you know the salvation of Christ Jesus as Lord, the Bible says we will live together for him. And look what he says next. This is huge. Therefore, because we know our eternity, because we know our future, because we know this life is temporary, because we know the things that we suffer, the things that we go through, the times of trials, that no matter how what season it is, look, he says, know that it's temporary. Know for sure if you know Christ Jesus as Lord and salvation. Then he says this, therefore, because you know that, he says, encourage one another. Build courage in each other. Strengthen one another. Support one another. The word encourage means to come alongside one another. Look at this. Because we know our future, encourage one another. Build up one another, just as you are doing. Now, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly. This word admonish means to warn. The word unruly means undisciplined. Listen, warn those who are walking in sin. Warn those who are undisciplined. Folks, when you, as a pastor, or the Bible says that my responsibility is to encourage you to do the work of the ministry. That's my responsibility, to do ministry and also teach and train you to do ministry, that you are equipped, you are ready. Equipped means made ready. My responsibility is to make you ready to do the work of the ministry. And there are times that you will have to come alongside somebody to encourage them when they're being undisciplined. Some people just don't like that. Well, listen, man, what are you doing, bro? I love you. God, this is what God says about that. That is sin. That is wrong. Dude, man, what'd you do with that chick last night, man? That's not a God thing. Dude, how is it that you're treating your wife, man? I have noticed some things that... And there are times in the word encouragement, folks, that we are to warn one another in love and in grace. The bridge is out, bro. Where are you going? If you continue in this path, man, it's going to lead to destruction. Man. And then the girl's talking to the girl, saying, you know what, that guy, he's a dweeb. Listen, I told the college girl that the other night. Friday night when I was working, I said, this dude's a dweeb, man. What are you doing? I said, oh, he's sleeping around on me. And this was like a thing last semester, entering in this semester. And all her friends are like, listen to him. He's a dweeb, right? I mean, it was just like, what are you doing? Come on. There are some people that will receive that encouragement and say, you know what? You're right. You have brought support to me that I know that I have victory in this because of what Jesus has done for me. Now, folks, there are some who will put their hands up and reject it and do their own thing and call you all kinds of names. But the Bible says this, that we are to encourage the faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. We are to be patient with everyone. Isn't it amazing that in the local church we have the right in grace and in love? In the same way you would want somebody to bring up something in your life, folks, to encourage and to build one another. That's huge. Come on, 1 Samuel 23, please. 1 Samuel 23. You turn there. I'm going to flip to Acts real quick. I want to read you a story in Acts, where we see if we are going to encourage one another at times through Scripture over and over, it is to encourage ourselves, encourage one another in faith, to keep strong, to keep going. Do not quit. Build your faith. And we begin to walk in this process to encourage one another in building our faith, to encourage one another. Do not quit. To encourage, I will walk alongside of you. You cannot quit in your faith. You've got to keep going. God has got this. Christ is King. Christ is on the throne. Listen, we will stand before God one day. Keep strong in your faith. And I see this blows me away, an amazing picture in Acts 14, where you've got Paul, and then you've got the disciples that surround Paul. And this is what takes place. It's crazy. Paul, who just is radical for Christ, going town to town preaching, leading people to Christ, leaving elders behind to lead the local church. And this is what happens. Verse 19, here he's preaching, he's going after it. People are being won for Jesus. And the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Now just hear this. And having won over the crowds, these guys who were against Paul, having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul. Hear this. Stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Here are these guys, they got a riot together. You know, they began to throw rocks and stone at Paul. They stoned Paul so much so, rocks pelting off his head, rocks pelting off his chest, rocks pelting off his back, that Paul became unconscious, a bloody mess, and here they drag him outside the city, unconscious state, believing that he was dead. Now look at this. And then you have the disciples, verse 21, or verse 20, but while the disciples stood around him. Could you imagine here? These guys are walking him out. They drop him. And then the disciples are just kind of surrounding this limp body of Paul. I could see him going, is he dead? I don't know. He looks dead. He's not moving. You know, whatever. They're kicking him. And then the Bible says this. And then Paul stood up. Could you imagine? Whoa, what was this? Now look, you could imagine this. I want you to see this. He just got stoned so badly he was unconscious, supposed to be dead. They thought that they got him. They thought that they killed him. They thought, and they just dragged him out to rot. And then Paul does this. This is incredible. Gang, please hear this. Even in the midst of your season, even in the midst of you going through a difficult time, even in the midst of your persecution, what does Paul do? Look at this. This is incredible. I want you to hear this, please. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. He got up and went back in. Could you, Paul, what are you, I could see his disciples going, where are you going? What are you following your blood trail back to? They just stoned you there. They just dragged you out here. Why are you following? Dude, probably not the best idea to go back into that city. Ah, this is great. This is great. He got up and entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe, and after they had preached the gospel to that city, folks, he was so concerned for souls. He was so concerned for the lost and for the desperate and for the broken. He went back to the city and he began to preach, and he made many disciples, and then they returned. Where did they go back to? Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, the very place where these Jews came from that hated Paul, hated the message of salvation. He goes right back into the very city where they came from, broken, messed up, scarred, and this is what he does. This is incredible. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Look at the bumps. Look at the bruises. Look at the broken arms. Look at, man, they thought they dragged me out. They thought they ended my life. Look at me. And he goes back in. Please hear this. To the very place where these Jews came from, to encourage and to build up. Could you imagine what that did for that local church? Could you imagine what that did for the disciples right there? When him, battered and bruised, comes back in to strengthen them. The whole purpose in the midst of his persecution was to strengthen and to encourage them. And to, listen, he tells this, strengthen your faith. Build your faith. You know what he's saying? All this body, it's worth it. It's worth it to get persecuted. It's worth it to get rocks thrown at for your sake, that you would be encouraged, that you would know this, that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. This is not an easy walk, he said. But he says, I am here to tell you, be strong in your faith because it's worth it. Look at this. 1 Samuel 23 says this. Amazing. You see this picture of Jonathan and David. And listen, we hear so much about David. David and Goliath, David as the king. And you go on and on about how great David was, a man after God's own heart. And you see, this is after David and Goliath. This is after Samuel went to the house of Jesse. And there will be a day that David will be anointed king. And there's a time that he will take over the reign of Israel. All of this has already taken place. Here you've got King Saul at the time who hates David. David was one of his most faithful men. Listen, one of the priests looked at Saul as Saul was chasing down David to kill him. And he looks at Saul and says, do you have anyone in your army more faithful than David? He is your top dog. No one you know is more faithful than him. Why are you trying to kill him? Well, Saul in that moment takes out him and 85 other priests because of his hatred for David. And then Saul's own son, Jonathan, recognizes, this is huge, Jonathan is the rightful heir to be king. And he recognizes God's hand on David. He knows that David is the one who was called by God to lead Israel. Jonathan partners with David. And David is in a place where he is running. David is in a place that he is in hiding. Listen, when Saul knew that Jonathan turned and went with David, he tried to kill him with his own spear. This is how violent Saul was. And David was in a place, please hear this, David was in a place where he made a statement, I am hardly a step away from death. He's in a place that said, I am this far, one more step could take my life. And Jonathan shows up. This is amazing. Look at this, verse 15. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Zaphath Horash. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and he went to David at Horash and encouraged him, highlight that, built courage within him. Folks, He being the rightful heir to the throne, he being the son of the very one who's trying to take out David, he goes and builds courage. He goes and comes alongside David. He goes and strengthens and is the support that David needs. David is in a place, folks, where he is afraid. David is a place where he is in hiding. David is a place that he feels his future is in jeopardy. David is a place, maybe he has forgotten all that God has done for him. Maybe he has come to a place to say, man, the prophecy of me being king, the whole anointing oil, whatever it was, that just, how can that take place when I am a step away from death? And then Jonathan shows up. Folks, get this, please. That you have the ability to be somebody's Jonathan. You have the ability to come alongside somebody that honestly is like one step away from quitting. One step away from leaving the faith. One step away of throwing in the towel. One step away from divorce. One step away from making a horrendous decision. One step away. And you, God calls you to come alongside him. And this is what, look at what Jonathan says. He says, David, do not be afraid. Point number one, man, underline that and highlight that, that if you're going to encourage somebody and you're going to come alongside somebody, you would get in their grill and say, you cannot be afraid. God is the creator of the universe. God knows the condition of your heart. God knows exactly where you're at right now. Do not be afraid. David, look at the sun, the moon, and the stars. David, look at the wilderness in which you're hiding. This is God's hand. Do you remember what God has done for you? Do you remember all the goodness of God? David, don't be afraid. Folks, if we're going to be people who will come alongside those to encourage them, I beg you, follow this pattern. And you come alongside them and you remind them of how great God is. And you remind them of their future and in eternity in the presence of God. And you remind them, no matter what is taking place here and now, it is temporary at best. Do not be afraid. And then the second thing he says is this. See, the do not be afraid, folks, that's the here and now. That's the present. And Jonathan, who knows David's future is to be king. Look what he says. This is great. He says, do not be afraid because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. And then he reminds him of his future. He says, you will be king over Israel. David, do you remember the oil? Do you remember Samuel? Do you remember God handpicking you out in the field with the sheep, calling you into your father's house, last on the list? And God said, Samuel, that's the man. That's the one who's going to lead my people. That's the one who's going to be king over Israel. And Jonathan, you got to see this. He is the rightful heir to be the next king. Totally kicks his position aside to come alongside the one that he knows God has called to strengthen him, to support him, to encourage him. Do not be afraid. And then he reminds him of his future. Listen, David, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And you will be king over Israel. Could you imagine David hearing these words from the one who was rightfully to be king? Because you see, when you read this story, you see that Jonathan and David made a covenant with one another. And they made a vow and an agreement and a promise. And Jonathan is alongside David. Do not be afraid. And then he reminds him of his future. David, you are going to be king. God has a plan for you and God has a purpose for you. And you're the one who's called to be king. And then he says this, folks, this is amazing. Please get this. Third thing he tells him, he says, and I will be next to you. David, I will be right by your side. Yeah, I know who my dad is. Yeah, I know he's the king. Yeah, I know he hates you. Hey, dude, the same spirit that came at your head was the same spirit. I know, trust me, I ducked. I know how much he doesn't like you nor me. And in the encouragement, folks, he comes right alongside David. And he says, I will walk with you. You know, he says, I will be your friend for life, David. You and I have made a covenant, and we have made an agreement, and we made a vow. And David, I will come right alongside of you, and I will be your friend forever. Folks, that's what we're supposed to be to one another. How many times do we discourage and we kick the feet out? Or instead of coming alongside somebody, saying, listen, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you through this. I will see you through this. I will stand for you. I will strengthen your feet that you will be able to walk through this, that you will have the victory. God has a purpose and a plan for you. This is what God, do you remember God's purpose? Do not be afraid. Well, you and I are called by God to encourage one another. If we are going to walk this walk, and if we are going to walk this walk and understand what it takes one another coming alongside each other to build and to encourage and to build courage within, that there is support and there is strength that comes from within. Could you imagine after this where David's mindset was? Could you imagine that David was reminded how great his God was? David was reminded, I am going to be the king. He became the greatest king in Israel's history, folks. And he recognized, no matter what, Jonathan is with me no matter what. Folks, that's church. That's the power of relationships with one another, that we are called to encourage each other. Folks, if you are a college student and you're on a college campus, and maybe you're on a Christian college campus, maybe you're on a secular college campus, man, there are times and seasons that you may feel like you are one in a million. There may be times and seasons that you feel like, man, I am the only one who gets this thing. I am the only one who stands strong. I'm the only one. And if there is a group of you, if it is more than one, if it is two, man, you have such an ability to stand with one another, encourage one another, go after your campus, go after people, strengthen one another. If there's a group of four or five, if there's a group of 80 or 100 that are so strong in faith, so strong with one another, could you imagine when one comes against you and tries to discourage you, that 10 will be by your side to build you up, to push you through your college years, to walk in such a way that you live to honor and glorify Him, because there are such members of people that are around you that they recognize what it is to encourage one another in such a time of life where decisions are huge, such a time of life where pressure is huge, such a time of life that influences all around you in such an ungodly way. And there is a group that says when one comes to discourage, there is 10 that will come to lift you up. That's powerful, folks. If you're a high school student here, get this. You have so much pressure. You have so many things and so many people going against you. And if you are one who says, man, I know that there are those who love Christ as I love Christ. And when one person come against me, there are those who will surround me to build me as a teenager, to get me through the teenage years. Powerful, folks. God has not called us to walk this thing alone. And we walk this in a way. When we get what it is to truly be powerful in our encouragement, you have the ability. Please get this. You have the ability to change another life, to encourage them to keep the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You have told us all through Scripture that it is our God-given responsibility as the church to encourage, to support, to strengthen. So that's what you've given us to do, God. It's one of our assignments from the very throne of God, is to encourage one another. If you are married here, please grab the hand of your husband and wife. Wives, please hear this. One of the needs of a man is to be affirmed. One of the needs of a man is to know that he is the man, that he is being affirmed by his wife over and over and over. I'm asking you, please, that you would recognize your husband and who he is in Christ, and that you would build and encourage. Your man needs to be encouraged. He needs to be built up. That you would speak life to your husband. That you would get in his grill and say, you cannot be afraid. Lead this family without fear. Lead this family without fear. Lead me without fear. You cannot be afraid. God has called you to be the man. God has called you, and you will be strength. And then you begin to speak to his future. And then you as the wife begin to build courage in your husband in such a way that you are speaking life to his future. You are speaking life to who he will be in a year and who he will be in 5 years, in his leadership, in him being the dad of your children, and being him being your partner. earth that is going to lead you and encourage you and build you and strengthen you and cover you. And you would be the wife who comes alongside your husband to encourage him. Ladies, he needs that. Are you discouraging him? Are you cutting the legs out from under him? Or are you by his side saying, honey, do not be afraid. No matter what our circumstances in our marriage, honey, lead me. Please lead me. Don't be afraid. God has got such an amazing future for you as the head of this house and as the man who loved me and cared for me, as the man who loves me as Christ loved the church. There is such a power in our future. And you speak these amazing words to your husband. Say, honey, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you forever. Because you are the man that I have joined myself with. Because you are the man that I am one with. And I'm not going anywhere. And I will walk with you for my life. Do you have any idea what that does to your man? Do you have any idea that you remind him not to fear? And you remind him that God has a future for him. And that you would grab him and say, I am with you forever. You cannot get away from me. Folks, when you encourage and you build courage in your man, there's no greater power of force between the unity of a husband and a wife that God has created you to be one. Folks, please hear this. I dare say we wouldn't even be here today if it was not for my wife, Renee, who encouraged me in my future and what God has called me to do. To leave the security of a police job, to leave the security of retirement, to leave the security of finances, and to follow what God has put in my life. That she stood with me and said, Sean, God has gifted you. Sean, God has called you to do something in this region that has not been done. God has called you, Sean. Step out and do this. And I will be with you all the way. Folks, you want to talk about a husband that will stick his chest out and throw his head back as a lead warrior of the home. Please, wives, you have a place with your husband that there is not another person on this planet that has. You have the ability to encourage him like no one else. God, I pray over this group, this service right here. There's just a great presence in this place. God, I pray over our young people. I pray over our young adults and our college students. I pray over those who are married. God, if there has been more discouraging than encouraging, God, that would change, that would change, that would change. Not once have you ever called us to discourage anyone. But over and over and over, you tell us to build up and to build courage and to strengthen. God, that would be our lives. In Jesus' name.